Sound the horns to the left, sound the horns to the right. Make way, ladies and gentlemen. Not only has Santa Claus come to town, but the Liberty Gypsy is back amongst us. Shoot the confetti cannons, get out the t-shirts. What's going on? You're back.
Yeah, I was in hiding.
You were in hiding.
I was now, in hiding.
Was this a legal thing?
No, no.
Did you rob a bank?
No, I was sick as sick could be.
Aye, aye, aye.
Yeah, yeah.
Is it a cold? Is it the flu? What'd you have?
It's just this cold that will not go away. I blame it all on the weather. We're like 30 degrees one day, 60 degrees the next day, 30 degrees. People are not meant to live like that. It's supposed to be a season where your body can like acclimate to the temperature. No, like one day it's fall, one day it's winter, the next day it's almost summer. It's crazy.
I'm on the other end of the spectrum here. I did battle with a cold.
Mm-hmm.
And it's documented. It was on vlog a couple weeks ago. My boss, my buddy, Kevin James had it. Mm-hmm. A bunch of people at work had it, and they were dropping like flies.
Right.
And then I started feeling bad. And this is like an ad. We should get these people to buy ad space on the podcast. I started hitting the Zicam super hard. Like I took it as directed. Like they take it every 3 hours. It's just zinc. It's like straight up zinc. Everything tasted like metal for like 3 days. I totally just started chowing down on vitamin C, and I whooped it. I never got the full on cold. I had some symptoms, and then I pulled right out. It was like magic. God bless you, scientists. Thank you, Zicam people.
I normally feel it coming on, but this one just hit me like a brick. Because before, when I feel like I'm getting sick, I take the Energy C, stuff that you dissolve in water.
Yeah, and, the emergency.
Emergency, that's what it's called. And then I take the vitamin D3. Because that really helps too. And
gotcha.
Normally if I know it's coming and I can feel it coming on, I can stop it cold. This one just hit me.
Just like a snow plow of sick.
I woke up and I'm like, ugh.
That's the worst. Yeah. That's the worst. I had one day where my legs were kind of achy and I'm like, oh, it's not going to work. It's not going to work. And then I pulled out of it. Pulled out of that tailspin.
Well, you're lucky. I still sound a little bit like Maude, so.
Like Maude. Oh, Arthur. B. Arthur. Mm-hmm. Bam, bada, bam, 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 bam. Lots going on. Lots to get caught up on. It's an exciting, exciting day. The other day, as I was driving across country, the tax bill thing happened. We should just start with that because that is the good news. That is the good news in all of this.
I'm super psyched.
I'm stoked as well.
And
here's the problem, though. I think we got a messaging problem. Republicans, conservatives, libertarians, not great on the messaging side of things, and I think they're going to lose this battle the media.
Sarah Sanders did an excellent job. Got up in front of the entire press corps, right? And said a family of four making $45,000 a year will get an extra – I forget what the total number was, but it was basically an extra $120 a month, right?
Yes.
She was universally panned as a liar. Like how
really?
Do you get – how do you get the message out if you can stand there and tell the truth what the tax policy center has actually said and – oh, that's just – no, this is all for the 1% and like – they put information out like we don't understand percentages, like basic percentages. Yeah, somebody who makes $1 million gets more money back because they made $1 million and I didn't.
Well, here's the one I think they should just stick to. 8 out of 10.
Eight out of 10.
8 out of 10 Americans, you're going to get more money. You're going to get more of your money back. That's your money. And I would just – that's the attack. That's the way I would attack it. 8 out of 10. 8 out of 10 is a pretty big number. That's a pretty big number, people.
It's a huge number. And, you know, the New York Times was having an absolute, you know, freak out a couple weeks ago because when they looked at the whole thing and what they've done with state tax deductions, et cetera, it's actually wealthy people in places like New York and California that are not going to get a tax cut.
And that – and I don't know if you could have designed it any better.
Me
if you
either.
Could design it – but like the – the wealthy people, the people in New York and California who are already being taxed to death, mm-hmm. and by their representatives wasting their tax dollars, mm-hmm. now they have to pay more. Okay, so let's examine, where are your tax dollars going? How much money are you wasting? It's wonderful. It's perfect. It's like putting a spotlight on the BS that is New York and California. It's great.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, poor Mr. Cuomo was just like, ah, de Blasio, ah. And not a single New York or Californian Republican rep voted for it, by the way.
Of course. I love it. I just love it. I was thrilled. I'm in my little car driving from New York to Ohio, just listening to satellite radio, just loving it.
Like,
it
I get great. More of my money back. I get more of my money back.
Yeah. And yes, and let's help small businesses, and let's get that corporate rate down so we're competitive. And I have always thought that our economy is idiot-proof. The only way you can really mess up our economy is to get in there and start messing with it. You know, it's like the Jurassic Park of economies. You know, our economy will find a way. Just get out of the way. Life will find a way. Life will expand. That was my Jeff Goldblum impression. Jurassic Park 2, Lost World 2. I'm thrilled. I don't think it could. I mean, I want more of my money back. That would be awesome. It's
right.
Not. However, I'll take it.
I'll take it.
Take what I can get.
Well, and it was just, I thought it was fundamentally awesome because maybe you missed it because you were in the car. But. So, oh, this is nothing but a tax break for evil corporations and da-da-da-da-da because, you know, that's Bernie Sanders and the rest of them. And then all of a sudden, AT&T, we're giving everybody a $1,000 bonus and we're making these capital investments to increase employment. And was it –
immediately. It was like immediately.
Wells Fargo, we're going to do the $15 hour minimum wage nationwide and we're going to do X, Y, and Z. And I mean just 7 or 8 companies just out the gate going, we're going to share. I'm laughing myself sick. I thought it was great.
It was wonderful and I celebrate it all. And like right before we started recording – you heard of these things called the Pagos or whatever, there's something, some weird thing. And they thought Trump was going to wait to sign, the tax bill into law until after the new year. So he could do like this weird loophole. I don't even understand it. So the website Now This was like, here's the super shady reason that Trump isn't going to sign this right away. And like right after they came out with that story, Trump signed it.
Yeah, I know he wanted to sign it before Christmas. That was his whole deal.
Yeah, so he did it. So these they came out with this big slanderous hit piece on him about the shady reason he doesn't want to sign it. Meanwhile, smash cut to the White House. Trump's like, doo-doo-doo-doo-doo, signature. There you go. It's
there
a law.
It's a
there's,
law.
There's the super shady reason your website's a joke. There's the super shady. We'll do our year-end review show. Next, and I don't want to bite on it, but I'm really, really, really getting bored with these slanderous just hit pieces on Trump. If you look at everything the administration's doing, I have like zero beef with any of it. With any of it.
No, up to this point, I'm fine. I mean, and you know that whole being forced to buy health insurance thing is gone now too.
Holy crap.
The individual mandate was in that bill because do you know why? And this is what kills me. The Democrats took it to the Supreme Court and made the Supreme Court say it was a tax. So you know what you can do with it? You can include it in reforming the tax code.
How awesome is that?
It's awesome.
Swear to God. It's kind of a love fest on this episode of the show. However, that was and the other thing I loved about it is when they're on the White House lawn and Trump and Mitch McConnell and all those guys are talking, Trump's like, yeah, we snuck that in there. And I told these guys, be super quiet about it. Don't tell anybody. He's like, I love that he brags about it. He just brags about it.
Don't put sunshine on that one, boys.
Yeah. I said to these guys, don't talk about it. Don't talk because, you know, the fake news will be all over us. So let's just sneak that in there. And it's like in a boxing match, you get tax reform, which is bang, the knockout blow. And then as your opponent's falling to the ground, you kick him in the nuts. And you say, yeah, no more mandate, too. Well, and then as they fall, you teabag them and say, now we're going to drill. Now we're going to drill in Antarctica.
Oh, my God.
It's like these politicians have spent 40 years trying to drill in this vast wasteland where there's not even a blade of grass. Mm-hmm. And they snuck that in there, too.
Oh, my God.
He crushed it. He crushed it. Paul Ryan, the whole gang. Good work, you guys. That's the unholy trinity of Republican goodness.
Oh my God! And it's I just want to grab leftists by the shirt and say, we're not kicking 13 million people off insurance. 13 million people don't watch your crappy program.
Yes, now 13 million people have a choice. That's a battle for another day. That's the other thing that is the big issue. I don't like to be gloom and doom. I try to be even handed about this stuff. However, they're just baking it in to they say like it's a baked in number. They always use that phrase. But with the overwhelmingly just the bad press every day, the casual person on the street is now starting to become convinced that there was a crime with Russia, that it's a criminal enterprise, that all of this stuff is bad, that they're kicking people off of their insurance policies. It's messaging. That's really, really what it's all about, which comes right back to what we're trying to do. With the Loftus Party is
right.
Sweet Santa on a stick. This is wonderful news, you guys. You get to keep more of your money. You get to you don't have to buy a product you don't need. We're going to be energy independent. What there is no downside. And when the corporations get more money, but like AT&T, like you were saying, they're going to give out bonuses. They're going to improve their facilities. Mm-hmm. You're going to see wages go up. I really, 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 really think this is going to work.
Well,
and if it doesn't, and here's the other thing, the other beautiful thing, if it doesn't work, we're right where we left off.
Well, but either way, beginning January 1, everybody's in their new tax bracket.
Yeah.
So you're going to see more cash in your paycheck. It doesn't matter that you have to file this year's taxes under the old thing, right?
Yes.
Your actual check will be more for 80% of people who are going to be going, that's weird. What happened?
Yeah. Wait a minute. I thought I only made $380. Now I'm making $420.
Mm-hmm.
Blaze it! Yeah. It'll be great. Enjoy. That's – That's the demonic one who did that.
As a small business owner, my tax burden on pass-through just dropped 10%. I think that's freaking fantastic.
It is wonderful. Mm-hmm. And that's the other thing that most people don't understand. And I try to articulate it in different ways. But if you're a small business owner and you sell handcrafted luggage and you have a pretty good business with your handcrafted luggage years ago you made $250,000 a year. You figured out a way that you could keep $250,000 a year. And then the liberals, the Democrats, they look at you and they go, wow, you're making $250,000 a year. We're going to tax you more. We're going to penalize you more. Mm-hmm. We're going to put these these rocks around your neck. It's not like you're going to go, maybe I should only make $150,000. You will find a way to lay off employees,
mm-hmm.
automate, cut corners, cut costs, so you as the owner still make $250,000 a year. It only hurts the middle class, the lower class, all that other. It's people don't want to be penalized for success.
Do you know what else went away, Michael?
What?
The estate tax.
Are you kidding me?
For the vast share of payees. Yes, that's like, oh, these, this just benefits the rich. So the wealthy who are born wealthy get to stay wealthy. Yep. Gone. Gone.
I heard. No, no, I'm serious. I heard nothing about the estate tax in this. If they got rid of the estate tax, that's
they got rid of portions of it. The death tax is what I think they called it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I wonder if they just changed the amount of money in there. That's just criminal. It's moral. I'll go off on it. I don't want to have another death tax meltdown. But what, they should have gotten rid of it. They should have.
I'm telling you, I think they did. If only there were this large system of internet interconnected computers
that we could like check on our phones.
I'm doing it right now.
I love it. As you do that, I'm going to tell people to buckle up. And tighten your chin strap and get ready, because there's going to be some – I'm going to be spitting some Star Wars venom later. This is all – I like to start – I like to have the show start like on a high note, on a good rah, rah, rah. And then we get to the venom, but it's going to be – I'm going to be spitting some hot fire. And like I was literally – because I admitted I voted for Trump, that made the news. I was on – I was on – Fox News twice for admitting
funny.
I voted for Trump, and they're asking if that hurt my career, and I don't think it did. And I said that's what I said on Varney and Company, and what I said on Tucker Carlson. However, the amount of venom, the amount of shade I'm about to throw at the new Star Wars movie, this could hurt my career.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, and I'm really trying to balance the scales. Like, is it worth it? Is it worth it? To make these kind of enemies of Kathy Kennedy, of Disney, and of Ryan, whatever the guy, the director, but I'm prepared to go the F off.
Really?
Yes.
See, I didn't feel that passionately about it.
Well, it is a cautionary tale. It is what happens. I don't want to get started yet. I don't want to get started yet. It'll affect the rest of the show. It'll affect the rest of the show.
What we could do is talk about the other awesome thing that happened this week.
Well, we were treading water for you to look up the estate.
Yeah, I know. It's just I've got this Wall Street Journal article that I'm trying to scroll through.
Ah.
I'm still looking. I'm still looking.
Okay. Well, this show is going to be on some people probably are just unwrapping their gifts. Mm-hmm. So we'll get to this later on the show. These are all like little sneak peeks. I'm just like opening little windows of stuff that we'll really delve into later. Merry Christmas, everybody. I hope you had a great Christmas. I did the unthinkable this year and got my gifts early. So I am
really
yes, ahead of the game. And it feels so good. I was walking through the mall yesterday on my way to see Star Wars, and you saw this look of people. You could see it on their faces, like, oh, the desperation. I got to get somebody a gift. I got to – and I'm not there, and it's – I have to celebrate that. I have to pat myself on the back. I did good. Already got my gifts.
The bill would also make large cuts to the estate tax, a levy on inheritances charged only to the very wealthy. Under the plan – a couple could pass on as much as $22 million in assets without paying the tax.
Okay, so it went up. It went up from 5 to 22.
That's a pretty big improvement.
That is a pretty big improvement.
It should just die in a fire, but I'll take any progress we can get.
Well, Rob Long, whose book Bigly, mm-hmm. I was quoting a couple weeks ago. He was telling me some shady – like this guy's super smart. He's – Rob Long is a really, really intelligent dude. And there are big tricks that these corporate lawyers and they can kind of skate out of it. They can find a way to I don't want to get sued for slander. It's not L'Oreal. It's some other cosmetic company. Mm-hmm. And what they do is they create a new company – like right before somebody dies or right after somebody dies. So the company, it's always – one is always ending and one's always starting. And so if somebody kicks the bucket, they go, well, he doesn't even have that company. It's a new company over here. It's like just a giant shell game. I'm not sure how it works. However, the jury is in. for the Loftus Party and taxes. I'm digging it. And if they did great damage to the estate tax, then God bless them even more. That's even a bigger.
I don't know how you get back from knocking them down, kicking them in the nuts, teabagging them, and I don't know what the estate tax would be.
Oh, that's just rubbing your ass on their nose.
Oh, okay.
They've been knocked unconscious. Their balls have been kicked. You've put your scrotum near their face, and then you just rub your ass on their nose. But they're unconscious at this point. Now it's literally just like – now the ref is like, really, dude, just stop. Just stop.
And then you just stand up, look at them, and say, elections have consequences. Oh my God, the Democrat whining, and I shouldn't be this way. I shouldn't. But yeah. Oh my God. Well, and we didn't even get a seat at the table. Good. Good.
But what, you know what? And this is the one thing I can't get past. Were they invited? And did they just not show up?
Yeah.
And oh, here's the other one. And I don't know who did this. I don't know who said it, but it's great, and I would encourage everybody on the right who's running for office or re-election in 2018 just to wrap yourself up in this. Eight out of ten Americans are going to get to keep more money, and not a single Democrat wanted you to keep more of your money. They all voted to continue robbing you. That would be my mantra.
Wrap yourself in a flag and sing it, son.
Yeah. Well, here's the gloom and doom portion of the show. I'm very concerned about 2018. I'm very concerned that it is going to be a good versus evil election, and that everyone on the right is going to be painted just as pure evil, pure selfish, the rise of the Fourth Reich, complete and total racists and pedophiles, just the most evil stuff. And the Democrats are going to be motivated to vote. They're going to come crawling out of the woodwork. Please, for the love of God, bring sense back to this train wreck of a presidency. We have to do something. We're saving America. I think they're going to do very well in 2018. I'm very concerned about it.
Selfish. So people in government voting to let you keep more of your money is selfish?
Yes.
I mean, I just think this could be, like, with some good communications, this could just be spun completely the other way. And I think you're right. We don't package things well. At all.
They don't. And here's what they need to do. And this is a wonderful segue to this. They need to take lessons from Nikki Haley.
Oh, my God.
Because Trump was mentioning this stuff about, hey, we pay all these guys billions and billions of dollars, and then they stab us in the back at the UN the first chance they get. And then everybody's like, oh, he's a bully. He's a bully. He's a schoolyard bully. And then Nikki Haley goes in front of the UN, and she doesn't put some like little, listen, my bully boss wants me to say this. No, she went full tilt boogie. She's like, thank you, Donald Trump. I'm going to put my foot on the gas and double down on that action. I thought it was wonderful. It was absolutely wonderful. And I'm watching these dudes on MSNBC last night, like Brian
freaking
Williams.
Freaking out.
Freaking right out. Freaking right out, like, wait a minute, is this it's like a mafia boss saying we give you money, do what we want. And then my answer to that is, why are we giving the money in the first place? We
exactly.
want you to do something. You're a little struggling country and you're like, we need help, America, we need help. Okay, here's a couple billion dollars. Oh, thank you, America. Okay, well, that's a two-way street, dude. That's a two-way street. If you're asking for our help and then we hook you up with a couple billion dollars, yeah, we expect your help in return.
That seems rational to me, but do you know my favorite part of Nikki Haley?
Her hair.
Well, she has beautiful hair. She really does.
She really does.
It's gorgeous.
She's like a L'Oreal commercial.
I would love to have her hairdresser. That's all I'm saying. But no. So not only is she super smart, But she comes out in front of this world body and basically spanks them all in the same voice you would read Dr. Seuss to a little kid.
Yeah.
Like, her tone of voice is so calm and so, like, just, oh, isn't that sweet? And like, wait a minute, she just smacked everybody. I love
and
it.
And she did. Mm-hmm. And I love that she's like, so you're going to do your little vote. Do your little vote. But just know this. We're counting. We're watching.
We're watching.
And we'll know who voted. And it has consequences. Mm-hmm. So listen, if you're going to be an anti-Semite country and you think you can tell us where we can put our embassy in Israel, and you're just like, how often does the UN just vote against Israel because they got a chance to vote against Israel? Right? They just
right.
any chance they can. So, yeah, now we're keeping track. So I hope you enjoyed the money you got under the Obama administration, because I think if you voted against this one, it's going to be a little less this year. It's going to be a little less. Mm-hmm. We all got to tighten our purse strings.
Well,
and I love how they always portray that as like thuggery, but it makes sense on every level. It's like NATO.
It's called
Trump's like, hey,
negotiations.
NATO, you guys, exactly. You guys, you've been shirking. You haven't been paying your bills. So I think I might have to rethink this whole thing. What? Mm-hmm. What? It's not that Donald Trump hates NATO. It's like he doesn't like people who say they're going to pay and then they don't.
Exactly.
It's wonderful.
No, but Nikki Haley, she's just been killing it.
Yes.
I've never seen so much footage of the U.S. ambassador at the U.N. as I had of Nikki Haley, and I think it's because she's killing it.
I believe so, too.
Yeah.
Right now, she's my front runner for a presidential candidate.
Yeah.
I think, yeah, first woman president.
I could see that.
We got another election in 2020.
Mm-hmm.
And then it would be Nikki Haley in, what, 2024?
Maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That
I like her.
Wonderful.
And the other one I like, who I think has taken what, you know, I considered a blaring trash can fire and turned it into something real, is Sarah Sanders.
I tell you, I give that girl a lot of credit.
So do I.
I really do. She has impressed me immensely, and mm-hmm. I would love to eat her pie.
She didn't make that pie, Michael. I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
You cut out for a second. But you don't think she bakes those pies?
I totally think she does. I thought that was the most ridiculous thing that came out several weeks ago. You didn't really bake that pie? What? That's news?
Yeah.
What?
I wasn't invited to the White House Christmas party. I hate them. They hate LBGT XQYYG23 people.
Stupid. Stupid and boring. However, it's
Between net neutrality and the taxes and the UN, I mean, we've killed all the gay people. We've killed all the various identity groups, apparently, because every single one of them has a problem with every single one of these individual agenda items, and it just cracks me up.
Net neutrality, I still don't understand that.
Okay.
And my stance is still where it was last week when I was talking to Andrew Apple about it. I never felt the internet was broken. I never
exactly.
felt the need for government interference. Like, it seemed to be fine. Like,
cracking
the internet
along.
Always seemed
yep.
to be a fine, wonderful place. And people are trying to convince me that unless the government steps in and starts building fences, we're going to lose the Wild West.
Well, but here's the other thing, and you could just go back to this, right? What has the government gotten involved in that has ever gotten any better? Except maybe getting to outer space.
And even then.
Exactly.
And basically, even then.
The whole argument that it'll make the internet more fair, let me just say this. The most unfair platforms on the internet, places like Google and Facebook and Twitter and YouTube, who put their political bias out there in managing the content that's put on them, right?
Yes.
They connect directly to the internet. They don't go through ISPs and would not be affected by this at all. GoDaddy?
Yeah.
I mean, and to say that the internet, this wonderful technological tool that allows me to look up the tax bill while we're talking, right?
Yes.
Basically, they're trying to govern it under a law or a set of regulations that were developed in the 1930s to break up the Bell companies.
Yeah, and the last time I checked, the 1930s weren't really super pretty.
Well, they weren't super pretty, and what it eventually, the way they wrote it, what it gave the government the power to do was develop the 7 dirty words for the internet. Can you imagine what that would have looked like under the Obama administration?
Yeah, and I'll say this for the people who listen who think that we've really screwed this whole thing up and now it's going to go horribly. If problems arise, if problems occur, we live in a society that's based on laws. Mm-hmm. So those people can sue and they can go to the courts and they can get media attention and they can shout it from the mountaintops and we will fix it. Like, I don't like fixing problems that are hypothetical problems. Like, oh, if we don't pass a law, this will happen. No.
It's a solution in search of a problem.
Exactly. I'm going to wait for the crime first, then go after the criminal, and then and then have my day in court, and then get restitution. So I'm going to be passing on that one. However, you said something that reminded me of – it wasn't even on my list of junk to talk about, but something I'm super excited about. You're like, what has the government done that has ever improved something beyond the space program? Check this out, and this is the biggest news that no one is reporting on. That this is like game changer news. There is a thing, and I'm not even kidding, called the Impossible Engine. It is a EM drive, an electromagnetic drive. A dude invented this in 2000. It requires no fuel.
Okay.
It works on magnets, and I don't know the science of it. Magnets, electromagnetic pulses, whatever. But because it's in a cone-shaped housing, you get an unlimited amount of energy out of it.
Okay.
And that will produce thrust. So
why don't I have one in my car?
Well, because there's gravity and there's air, and it's not going to work well on the planet. However, if you put it on a spaceship where there is no resistance, you don't need to have a boatload of rocket fuel anymore.
Oh, wow.
You can go – they're saying now – so NASA just tested this. They're like, this dude invented it in the year 2000. They're like, there's no way this works. There's no way this works. So they've been testing it and they can reproduce it. They've reproduced the results. They've reproduced it. It is a thing. They're saying now – you could get to Mars in 10 weeks.
What?
This is a game changer. Instead, because most of a rocket is the fuel.
Right.
You got to have all this blah, 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 blah. So now you just need enough fuel to get out of the atmosphere. And then you click on your impossible engine or your EM drive and you're going. It is a game changer for the planet.
Like hyperspeed.
I'm telling you what, warp bubbles and stuff like that, they're now becoming a little bit more than theory, and there could be – science could back it up. I can't believe that people aren't shouting this from the mountaintops.
Well, it's because you and I will be first in line for Mars, so.
I want to go.
We got to leave before the robot thing happens.
Well, oddly enough, I'm gonna need some robots to do some work because the excitement to me is you've got a space now on a bunch of rockets where you don't need as much rocket fuel. You could fill that up with a little habitat. Like you could send something to Mars now, and then just have robots build it so that when human beings go, you just turn the key and you got a little house to go into, and you've already got your water purifiers going, and you've got your garden already planted. It's wonderful.
We got plans now.
The Impossible Engine. I love it. I got very excited about it. I thought my kids would be more excited. They really weren't. They just kind of take it as like a yeah, that's cool.
Well,
anyway,
you know, they've been in an age of a lot of impossible things. I mean, can you imagine like what we would have thought if, you know, And by the time this, and you're going to have something in the palm of your hand that can get you information from all over the world that you used to have to go to the library for.
If you look at the old Star Trek show, they were right on it. They were right on it.
Mm-hmm.
Their little tricorders and their little everybody had a, you know, blah, blah, which is hilarious.
It is.
There's a Newsweek article, and that's another thing. You tell people don't believe everything you read. A lot of this is opinion, and you can look this up, dear gentle listener. There was a Newsweek article. I think this guy wrote it back in 89 or maybe 91, how the internet will never amount to anything. And this is one of the smartest – this is one of the smartest minds and one of the great theorists who's like, they say you'll be able to buy plane tickets with the click of a button. Not going to happen. They say you'll be able to read magazines on the internet. Don't see that coming to fruition. This dude was wrong about everything.
wrong. He was completely wrong.
He's so wrong that he's written an apology.
Really?
He's like, yeah. Yeah, mm-hmm. But that's what happens. You get like everybody and this is the other great thing, and I'm going back to taxes for a little bit. They're like, all the economists say, the economists say it's not going to work. It's not. Well, you know what? No, that's not true. That's what they want you to believe. However, I can run out the door and find a boatload of economists who are like, wow, you just saved the day with these tax cuts. Now we're really going to get going. So I can't stand that. I can't stand the lies and the blah, blah, blah. It's so boring. It's so boring. Now, here's the other wonderful thing that happened. This is our space show. This is our taxes and space show. Did you see the footage of the UFO from inside the jet?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that crazy?
The only thing to me that's crazy when you start talking about UFOs and the fact that there's probably like other life forms out there somewhere, that would seem to make a lot of sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing about that whole discussion that freaks me out is the dude with the hair.
Oh, the guy from Ancient Aliens?
Yeah. He just creeps me out. I can't.
Yeah, there is a creep factor there. But, you know, he's doing that. That's all just him. I'm going to be a – like, we don't even know his name, but you say the guy with the hair, and I know exactly who you're talking about.
Yeah, it's his shtick, and that's fine. I just – it's creepy.
I find it very interesting that the Pentagon comes out and says, yep, we've been looking at UFOs since 2007. Then they come out with the footage from the U.S. fighter jets from 2004. There was another article in the New York Times about an encounter these two jet fighter guys had, I think, back in 2004. There's a lot of mounting evidence for something's going on. And then you tie in this thing where we just invented the impossible engine. Mm-hmm. I think both things are tied together.
Hmm.
If you're an alien and you're watching our society evolve – and you're right. Like, well, they're not ready to join the international community, the intergalactic fellowship. And then one of your guys on Earth, one of your undercover alien dudes goes, hey, they just invented the electromagnetic engine. And the aliens are like, what? That piece of technology we invented 2000 years ago? They just now discovered that? Yeah, they did. Mm-hmm. So we might want to start talking about bringing them into the fold. I really think there's – it's going to sound – I know it sounds crazy. As I say it, it sounds crazy. But stranger things have happened.
Not a lot stranger than that has happened. But, you know.
Oh, the invention of the lightning rod. I don't know. I'm trying to think of actually stranger things have happened. But it's going down exactly like Star Trek predicted. That's how Star Trek would work. You would wait till a society invents a certain piece of technology and then you're like, okay, you guys are – obviously, your next step is outer space, so before you get here, you should know here's what's going down.
Right.
So Star Trek brings me right to Star Wars and my total hatred of this movie. The Last Jedi. I hated it. I hated it. I hated it. I hated it. What say you?
I liked parts of it.
What parts did you like?
Are you just going to wreck them for me?
I'm going to wreck the whole movie for everybody. If you haven't seen it yet, don't give them your money. there's going to be spoilers aplenty. There's going to be some real inside Star Wars baseball. I was a fan since I was a kid. When I was a little kid, I saw the first movie, and that it changed my view of the world. It really did. It deeply affected me. I hold this franchise very near and dear to my heart, and it got away from them. They sold it. George Lucas sold it to Disney, and now Disney is having their way with it, and it ain't good, people. It ain't good.
Well,
now there are some parts that I did like visually. There were, and this is the great thing with technology now and cinematography and digital painting, blah, you can make anything happen.
Mm-hmm.
There were some good looking moments.
Mm-hmm.
There was some imagery on the screen. I'm like, yeah, that's interesting and cool. However, the story was trash. The story was garbage. It was just absolute garbage.
Well, I don't like not understanding what Snoke was all about.
Oh,
like,
oh,
where did he come from? Where did he come from, and why are we dealing with him? Was something I kind of wanted to know.
And guess what? Guess what, Stacey? The filmmakers don't know. The filmmakers don't know. That is that you looked behind the curtain. So here you had the Emperor from the other Star Wars films, right? The unlimited power.
Mm-hmm.
And he tells young Anakin Skywalker, there was once a leader of the dark side of the Force, a Sith guy who could overcome even death. And mm-hmm. he taught me how to cheat death. And Anakin Skywalker's like, what happened to that guy? And the Emperor's like, well, I killed him, you know? So there was a bunch of people thinking, if that guy knew how to cheat death, I don't think the Emperor really did kill him. He might have thought he killed him, but that's Snoke. And that's why Snoke was all jacked up in the face, because that's the remnants of the battle he had with the evil Emperor. And you're like, holy smoke, this is so exciting. That's the original, the OG bad guy. And they totally muffed on it. They totally muffed. And in the scene where he gets killed by Kylo Ren, hilariously, he's bragging about, I can manipulate your thoughts. I can make you do whatever. I can see inside your mind. I know exactly what you're doing before you do it. Meanwhile, Kylo Ren is secretly using the Force to manipulate. Like, it was the hokey. That's how he goes out, like a little punk. I'm going to use the Force to turn on the lightsaber and cut you in half while you're talking about how you can read my mind. Douche. So we never know who he is. We have no glimpse to his backstory. He was just what they call in screenwriting just a straw villain. He was just a straw villain. He meant mm-hmm. nothing. And his lair. How retarded was that? Because they couldn't figure out what his character was all about. You know what they did? They go, well, what kind of space would he enjoy? He'd just red. Just like a red – I think he would just have red walls. Well, he's got this cool throne and what are the – just red. And then he's wearing like a gold lame. What is he? Like the freaking – the zombie version of Wayne Newton from the future?
Oh, my God.
He looked like a Vegas – like it was like a Vegas show. His like – his throne room. Oh, I'm terrified. What's up with all the red? Well, we couldn't think of a – it was horrible. All right. So you were disappointed in Snoke. I was disappointed in Snoke. They crapped the bed on that one. They crapped the bed on that whole wonderful opportunity.
I'm actually okay with what Kylo told Rey about her parents, because Anakin came from nothing, so I didn't need to think that she came from anything special.
Okay.
I know people were complaining about that too. I really wanted her to be Obi-Wan's kid, but I didn't really believe it was going to happen. So,
well, they can always go back on that one. They can always say that he was lying. You know, that mm-hmm. he just wanted to hurt her badly, so he said her parents came from nothing. However, when you have a scene in what was the previous movie to this?
The Force Awakens.
The Force Awakens. When you have a scene of The Force Awakens, a flashback to a little girl being dragged away, and she sees the starship leaving. She's like, no, no, come back. Don't leave me. Okay, so who's on that starship? The nobody people? The bums? The vagrants who couldn't afford a trip on a spaceship? And then she's got the little doll of the Star War of the rebel jet fighter pilot guy that she adores. Nah, no, no. Here's what: they couldn't make up their minds. They don't know the story. They couldn't make up their minds, so they punted on that one too. It's a non-answer. Your parents are nobody. Do you think you're somebody? That was a punt. The whole thing was a punt. The whole thing was just god awful. Was
I
just
did
god-awful.
Like the whole back and forth between Rey and Kylo Ren, though.
Well, that part, that's interesting. Like, to me, the idea of that, like, is the classic. She's the good guy. She's the light force, and he's the guy on the dark side. And she's saying, no, I think there's still good in him. I'm going to reach out. That's all wonderful. But the idea that the Force, and this is what George Lucas said when he sold the rights to Disney, they go, do you have any regrets? He said, I'm just concerned they're going to start changing the rules of the Force. And that's what they're doing. I had no idea that you could use the Force to astral project yourself across time and space and the galaxy and to have real interactions with people. Like, you could sit down in a room and meditate, and then your body would physically appear and you could physically touch other stuff, and then but you weren't really there. That's horse crap. If you could do that, why didn't Yoda do it? Why didn't Ben Kenobi do it? Why did no other Jedi in frickin' 7 other movies do it? Why didn't they do it in the Clone Wars television show that's canon? 'Cause you can't. They wanted something to happen, so now they're bending the rules of the Force to make it happen. That is that was horrible. I actively hate that. The wonderful thing about science fiction and fantasy, when it works well, there's rules, and you have to follow the rules. You can't go, oh, you know what else the Force can do? You can just astrally project your body and hand people Christmas gifts, but really you're meditating back on a pile of rocks on a water planet. What, are you crazy? I hated it.
Wow.
I hated it.
That was like personal. That was deep.
It was.
Yeah. It must be because I'm a chick. I didn't hate it.
Well, that's fine. It's like, what's a good metaphor? It's like a piece of candy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, ah, it's a piece of candy. I'm just going to chew it up and good. But it will consistently they're going to keep giving you just candy until anything could happen and there's no way out. And writers, when your character, you can just write yourself into a corner and then magically, mystically, I didn't know the Force could do this. I'm just going to bling, bling, bloom and get out of here. Then it's just hollow. It's meaningless. It's just candy without the creamy center.
So do you think they're going to do another one even though they've said they're not?
Oh, they're doing another one.
Oh, I thought they said once Carrie Fisher was gone, this was actually going to be the end of the – there was going to be no 9.
Oh, there's going to be a 9. They have to do a 9. They're going to do a 9 and it'll be even worse. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Do you know what else the Force can do?
What?
So Princess Leia – who's Luke's sister, she's got the Force too. She doesn't use it all the time, right? Because she's not really a Jedi. She just kind of has it. But evidently, when your spaceship, when you're on the command bridge of a spaceship and a bad guy blows a hole in it and you're sucked into outer space, you can just kind of float around out there for a few minutes. Now, granted, your body is completely frozen, but I guess with the Force – you can open up your eyeballs, and the vacuum of space doesn't affect your eyeballs either. You just look a little crispy. And then you use the Force to turn your body and float back to your spaceship and knock on the window and say, hey, I'm not dead. That was ridiculous. That was the most ridiculous sequence on – and as a filmmaker, Why not kill? She's dead in real life.
Mm-hmm.
She's dead in real life. That's a noble way for her character to go out. I'm like, oh, this is how they're dealing with the death of Carrie Fisher. That's actually not bad. That's because it's heartbreaking and it's emotional, and Kylo Ren didn't want to kill her, but the other guys, they shot, and now he'll regret that choice he made for the rest of his life. But no, she's going to use the Force. She's a popsicle that can fly around in outer space. Oh, my God. It was the worst. It was the worst. It was the worst.
Can I at least like the scene where Laura Dern's character slices the big ship in half by going into hyperdrive?
Okay. And here's what and this is the same thing. It looked beautiful. It looked wonderful. It was glorious in all its cinematic glory. Now, why did she do that? Because she had no other options. So she's going to ram these people. Mm-hmm. She didn't need to be on there. There was no reason for her to be on there. If you're writing that script and that's an option, you know what else they have in Star Wars? A shit ton of droids. A shit ton of robots.
This is true.
You go grab a robot and you go, listen, here's what you're going to do, buddy. I need you to pilot this in. And he's like, that's cool. That's in my programming. It'd be my honor. Okay, thank you. Thank you, robot. And if that is a viable option, why didn't they do it? Why didn't they? Why wasn't that their plan? They established there's a ton of little getaway ships inside. The transports. Okay. Well, if sacrificing one of our ships will blow up the entire fleet that's chasing us, how about we do that shit right away? It's retarded. It's insulting to your intelligence. It's like watching a Western where the bad guys are going and there's a posse behind them. They're like, we can't shake this posse. What are we gonna do? What do they always say? I don't know, let's split up. That's the first one. Let's split up. Or maybe one of the guys goes, you know what? I'll set up an ambush here. You guys go, I'll try to escape, and I'll meet you at the frickin' OK Corral. They didn't even try that. Their entire plan was we're going to stay just a little bit in front of them. We're just going to stay just a little bit in front of them. Meanwhile, they establish you can't escape. Because the dude and the Asian chick whose name I think in Star Wars translates into "we want this movie to do good in China." They literally left. They left with no pursuit, and then came back.
Mm-hmm.
With like, there was so you've established people can escape. I saw it happen with my own eye. It was insulting and just god awful. And then, oh my God, the scene with the little apricot head lady with the big glasses from the first movie.
Yeah.
I wanted to throw a brick at the screen there. They're like, hey, apricot lady with the big glasses, who's that guy that's really good at cracking codes? Now, she's in the middle of a battle. She's like shooting and using her jetpack. And they're like, hey, what's the name of the guy that can crack codes? I don't have time to tell you his name. If I'm in the middle of a battle. Hey, bitch, you could have just said his name instead of saying all those sentences. You just could have said his name's Jerry.
Oh, my right? God.
She's like, no, I don't have the time. I got to use my jetpack. I'm busy. What are you guys up to? Oh, we're being chased across the galaxy by the First Order. We just need the guy's name. What's his name? That would take – I can't give you his name now. Jetpack activate. Send phasers to fun. I can't – you'll know him by his jewelry. What the hell was that?
Well, I
she
just –
she couldn't say the dude's name.
I just thought that whole little side errand was – silly.
Oh, it was
meant to establish
ridiculous.
A relationship between Finn and the Asian girl, and I just never bought it.
Yeah.
The only relationships I bought in the movie were Rey and Kylo Ren, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't even really buy – and I bought the relationship between Kylo Ren and the redheaded guy. They hate each other. I even bought the relationship between Rey and Leia's character. Right?
Yeah.
There was some stuff going on there. And I bought the one between Leia and the pilot.
Princess Leia did nothing in the movie. Mm-hmm. Laura Dern did nothing in the movie, the entire sequence to let's go to the casino planet and find the guy with the flower lapel pin did nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Literally, it was just moving pictures. That's all it was, in a series of just cinematic moments that someone invented somewhere in a Disney studio. Ooh, this would look cool. Oh, let's do that. Let's find an excuse to do that. It was horrible. And what they did to the Luke Skywalker character was just horrible completely. Like, to have him be this bitter old crone that lives alone on this planet who's given up on everything was just that goes against everything in the canon of Star Wars. And hey, even Yoda didn't get that bummed out. And they didn't even do the flashback when Yoda comes and visits as a ghost. All of a sudden, Yoda can make himself physically there. Like, Yoda was there. Like, what are you talking about? We have firmly established. And that's the other thing. I can go back like a lawyer and I can show you scenes. Obi-Wan Kenobi's dead. Oh, look, he can come back as a ghost. Oh, yeah, he's got that blue glowy stuff around him. That's kind of cool. Hey, Qui-Gon Jinn is dead. Ooh, but he can come back as a ghost. He's got the blue glowy stuff around him. Oh, now Yoda does it, but he's really there. He's like really a puppet and he's laughing over the burning tree. Yoda, who knows that there has to be balance to the Force. You can't have unchecked dark side without having a little bit of hope with one, at least one Jedi. Like Yoda, who would probably frown upon. So you just giving up? Yeah, gonna give up, totally. All right, well, what are you gonna do? Give up you must. I guess, well, we are all going to live under Sith rule. It's ridiculous. It was poor
Can
writing.
Can I make you feel better?
Yes.
So we went to that on Thursday for the night of the premiere, and then on Friday we rewatched Guardians of the Galaxy and Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2.
You know, it's really – and I had this discussion with my kids when I was leaving the theater.
Mm-hmm.
It really, really shows you – you can have all the money in the world. You mm-hmm. can have all the sets and everything else. It all comes down to – this is going to sound so hokey – good storytelling.
Mm-hmm.
And Marvel Comics and Pixar used to do it better. We'll see what happens. Now Pixar is missing John Lasseter, who's a great story guy because of the whole sexual harassment stuff. However, that first Guardians of the Galaxy movie,
mm-hmm.
that's fantastic.
The second one was great.
Second one was pretty darn good. Was pretty darn good. For a sequel, I'll put it right up there with a lot of my favorite sequels.
And I won't.
It's possible. And I tell you what, this whole Avengers Infinity Stone, I'm totally excited about that.
I won't be talked out of being excited about Infinity War.
Yeah. Yeah, I am I'm excited about that.
When I look at the picture of all the characters that are – I know who they all are. I know their backstories. I know what they can do. And at least to this point, Marvel seems to have been – pretty good about keeping the rules intact.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And building them and building them and building
them.
Way better than
DC.
Oh, yeah. Now, Marvel has their own set of problems.
Mm-hmm.
Because you got to put some rules on Doctor Strange pretty fast.
Okay.
Like, you have to take Doctor Strange out of the equation pretty quickly, in my mind, because all he has to do is do the time goes backwards thing, right? We've established that Doctor Strange goes, uh-oh, something really bad is happening here. I'll just make time go backwards and fix it. So that's a problem. And this is the problem that's faced comic book writers for the longest time. Like, Superman is so powerful, you have to invent a super powerful enemy to come after him. So that's the wonderful challenge for writers.
Mm-hmm.
However, What Marvel appears to be doing so well, DC is messing up some basic dynamics, mm-hmm. and they're crapping the bed with their movies. And it looks like you have a bunch of people in charge of the Star Wars franchise who are just going to not care about story, not care about characters. Like, why is it? And I have a million of them. Why would Laura Dern's character not tell Poe what her plan was?
I don't know.
It boggles the mind. I don't like you. You're a fly by the seat of his pants jet fighter guy. Do you have a plan? Not that I'm telling you. Why not? Does she think he's a traitor? Like, that's the interesting discussion, right? You don't believe me because you just horrible. I guess there's a petition online, and I'm going to try to find it and sign it to get it thrown out, to get this entire film thrown out.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
What you have is like the official Star Wars canon. Like when George Lucas, when he was in charge of thing, he would say, well, this is just a story and it's an interesting piece of fiction. It's not the official history of Star Wars. It's not canon. And so there's a bunch of people who don't want this to be the official canon. I could devote an entire show to this. I could do at least another hour on how much I despise this film. I just despise it.
I'm so sorry because you were looking so forward to it.
Yes. And mm-hmm. nothing makes sense and you can do anything. Oh my God in heaven. We're trapped in a cave. We're trapped in a cave and here come the bad guys. Is there a way out? No, Princess Leia. You frozen popsicle flying around outer space, bitch. There's no way out. Well, where did the crystal cats go? Oh, there is a way out. But no, there's rocks. However, will we get shoot 'em. Shoot 'em with the blaster that you have on your hip that we just saw when Rey is sitting in her little egg hut. She just one shot, boom, it blasts through an entire wall. And those little frog lady nuns get mad at her. Okay, so everybody has a blaster. You've got, oh no, there's a pile of rocks. And the pile of rocks is, oh no, what will we do? Shoot it. Shoot it and walk away.
I'm sorry.
The most ridiculous thing I've seen in my life.
Well, no. That was the popsicle.
The popsicle, Princess Leia popsicle, was really bad. I can transport myself across time and space, yet I can still touch you and hand you golden dice. Is really bad. Emperor Snoke, I can read your mind. I know everything you think before you. But where'd that come from? Was horrible. There's a pile of rocks. Oh, no. If only we had some kind of explosive device that we could. Oh, that's right. We all have them right here. All we have to do is shoot the top rock and just leave. Horrible. 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 Despise. I could go online and play Star Wars Battlefront 2 with a group of strangers, and it would be a better story than that shit show I witnessed yesterday in a movie theater.
Wow.
Laura Dern dies for nothing. Poe, waste of space. I'm an Asian girl with half of a... Oh, my God. And Benicio del Toro's character. Are we supposed to care? Oh, no, he betrayed them. And then del Toro, the laziest piece of acting I've ever seen. How are you going to make this character unique, Benicio? Well, I thought I'd give him a stutter. Really? Really? That's the plan? Yeah. And it'll just kind of come out of nowhere. Oh, horrible. And then Captain Phantasm or whatever, the silver stormtrooper lady. Boy, talk about a big ball of nothing there. Just a big ball of nothing.
Yeah, and she kind of came out of nowhere in the other one too. They didn't have silver stormtroopers.
Twice they've wasted her. Twice.
Mm-hmm.
Who is that chick? Why? Where does she come from? What's with the silver? Is it just a shiny outfit? Did she save up more Kroger bonus points and was able to send away for the shiny silver? How do you – like there's – you can't just do shit because it looks cool. And then, oh my God, when she, quote, killed Finn, like she pushes him over the edge and she looks down and then, okay, he must be dead because she turns back around towards the camera. So she just threw him down that pit and she looks like, yep, that dude's dead. She turns around and no, he was on a floaty platform the whole time. Like, how did she not see that? You, the director, established she looked down the hole. She saw what happened. And then, in a universe, in a galaxy where there is one Jedi, it's the title of your stupid movie, The Last Jedi. There's one. So there's like one dude who has a lightsaber, and that's Kylo Ren. That's the one, uno title of your movie, you dipshits. Half the stormtroopers in the movie have this mysterious weapon to counteract lightsabers. What the heck? What? What? And then...
Oh, it's horrible.
Oh, it's almost time for Michaeltopias, I think. And gosh, I can only wonder what they might be.
In Michaeltopia, I want another hour to just – I want to surround myself with other people who hate this movie and just rail on it for like no, my wife can't take it. My kids can't take it. There's nowhere I can unleash. There's nowhere I can just truly just rage out.
I'll bet you there's a forum somewhere on the internet.
It's not the same. I need the physical interaction. I'm just a man. I'm thinking I might go to Star Wars Celebration this year and just – oh, I can't wait. I can't wait to see what happens. I want to be a part of that. Let's do some Michaeltopias and hit the bricks.
Okay. Shall I go first?
Yes, please. In the real world, there's rules that we have to live by. And a lot of them don't make sense, but in Michaeltopia, there's a different set of laws and everything's wonderful. So here we go.
In Michaeltopia, when it says Amazon Prime and has the check mark, it really needs to get here in 2 days.
Ooh, this sounds bad. What happened?
Just especially at Christmas. It says Amazon Prime and then it's like, it'll be here Friday. But I ordered it on Saturday, you know, the previous Saturday. It's just crazy.
I got that. I'm totally on your side here. Here's a recent experience I had with Amazon. Andrew Apple does the podcast and he does the videos. He's a key part of this Loftus Party family. He was telling me, and he works on the TV show as well. Valuable guy. A couple months ago, he's like, dude, we got all the TV shows on a hard drive. We have the podcasts on a hard. We have all this stuff. We need a new hard drive. I'm like, okay, well, I don't know anything about this, Andrew Apple. So send me the link to the one you want. I'll get it. He sends me a link to Amazon, Amazon Prime. And I'm like, okay, cool. So I buy this thing and I have it sent to his address. I fill out the thing and bloop, bloop, blorp. And I get the email. Okay, everything's going. Everything's wonderful. A week later, I get an email from Amazon going, hey, our bad. We don't have that. Like, shouldn't – then how did I buy it? How did you send me a tracking number? How did all that happen? I call shenanigans.
I call super shenanigans.
Yeah, it was a drag. So now I have to do it again. Now he has to find another hard drive. We have to do that. Otherwise, I'm extremely happy with Amazon Prime. I'm doing the Amazon music.
Love the Amazon Prime, but I was just like, I don't know. Last Christmas was better. I'm not sure maybe if they've overextended. I don't know.
I think so. I think so. And oh my gosh, the drones. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about that. Okay, so here's my Michaeltopia. In Michaeltopia, there is no movie The Last Jedi. Actually, there will be a movie The Last Jedi, but it's not released yet because in Michaeltopia, I go to George Lucas's house. Just me and George, and we literally could take turns crapping on napkins and come up with a better script than what they filmed.
Oh, my God.
I go to Skywalker Ranch. Me and George figure it out, and we talk big picture. We talk story. We literally could scribble on a bathroom wall with a Sharpie and have a better script than what they churned out. Death to the porgs. I wanted Chewbacca to eat every single last one of them.
It looked like a chicken.
It did. It looked delicious. And he's like, I can't eat this while you're watching me with your big. Listen, that's nothing but a toy. That's nothing but a toy. Eat them. Leave like four so they can reproduce because you want to protect the food supply. I hated it. Okay. So next episode, that was episode 99.
Right.
Our next episode is our big year in review, looking back at 2017, looking forward to 2018. We'll do that. You guys are awesome. Thank you so much for supporting the Facebook page and the LoftusParty.com and subscribing to the YouTube channel. We got some big happenings coming up in 2018. Some big happenings. So I hope you had a great Hanukkah. I hope you're having a merry, merry Christmas. And Santa and his elves got you everything you want. We will see you next time. Peace.